Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening again today and share together with you another gospel broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege our Lord allows us day after day to meet by the means of radio and study the Word of God together. I trust, if it's at all possible, that you'll just take some time out while the broadcast is on and maybe get your Bible, maybe even a pencil, a piece of paper, and let's study the Word of God together while we're on the broadcast today. I'm reading again the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. The Bible said in verse number 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The Bible said in verse number 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And then in verse number 9, the Word of God said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And I began a message on yesterday's broadcast from these verses of Scripture on the subject of what a missions meeting will do for the local church. And my emphasis is not what it will do for the missionaries, but what it will do for the local church. Now, I'm aware of the fact that multitudes of people who are serving the Lord today, all they understand about missions is denominational missions program. By that, the denominational headquarters simply says to the people and to the local church, "You don't worry about missions. You send us your money, we'll take care of that for you." Well, what that does, it removes the burden of missions from the heart of the church to the headquarters of the convention. And in so doing, it leaves God's people with a lack of understanding of what the Scripture says about the work of God in missions. I grew up in a denominational church, and I was a grown man before I ever met a live missionary. I heard about them. I was encouraged to give to them in special offerings received for them, but I knew nothing about a Bible-based missions program as is taught in the Word of God. And then in 1973, God began to deal with my heart. I was fixing to change pastorates, and when I changed churches, I was to start an annual missions conference. Well, I began to seek out men whom God had used and was using to teach and preach to the people that I was about to pastor about missions. And by the grace of God, God let me meet a man that had a burden for missions, an understanding of missions. And he came to our church, and we set aside a week of meetings. And we had missionaries come in, present their slides, share their burdens. And then the man of God preached night after night and taught our people what the Word of God said about missions. That one meeting transformed our church. It transformed my life. And from there, God began to deal with my heart and let me start preaching mission meetings. And down through the years, I've seen God take the same principle that I'm dealing with here, the principle of sowing and reaping as it's taught in the Word of God. And I've watched God transform church after church and life after life to His glory and to His honor. And so I hope you'll listen. Let God speak to your heart. And then sense the responsibility that we be taught, we be given the information and the instruction that's needed on what the Word of God says about missions. Now, I'm not against anything that anybody's doing to reach the world with the gospel, but I do know that God is not promised to honor my thoughts, my ideas, my plan, but he promised to honor His Word. And He will honor His Word when we obey the precious Word of God. So we're looking here in the Word of God at God's law of the harvest. And we'll find here these four principles that I dealt with on yesterday. We learned, first of all, that you reap what you sow. You never planted beans and gathered potatoes. You never planted squash and gathered cucumbers. You reap what you sow. Number two, we learn that you reap after you sow. You see, there's multitudes of churches and church members who are waiting, hoping someday we'll get some extra money. And when we do, we're going to give to missions. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is that you take some of what you've got, you sow it, and as you give that money, God likens that to sowing. Then God turns around and blesses that, and you begin to reap. And as you begin to reap, then you're able to sow more. So you reap what you sow, and you reap after you sow. Oftentimes I hear people make the expression, "Preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to missions." Well, I don't know if that'd be true or not. You look at what you did with your last payday. If you wouldn't give a half a paycheck, I doubt seriously you'd give a $500,000 to missions. But God's not looking for the millions. God's looking for the individual who will take a portion of what God has blessed them with and sow it to the Spirit in the harvest of God and watch God multiply it and use it to meet the need of reaching the world with the gospel of the grace of God. So you reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, and then number three, you reap more than you sow. I mentioned on yesterday, I planted a grain of corn in my garden. It produced a stalk. The stalk produced 2 ears, and on those 2 ears were over 1,100 grain. You reap what you sow, after you sow, more than you sow, and then according to how much you sow. I pointed out to you how that the little lad sowed 1 basket of bread and fish. Not long afterward, he reaped 12 baskets. What did they have in them? Bread and fish. I mentioned how that Hannah sold a child, and not long afterward, she reaped 5 other children, 6 including Samuel. So that's just God's law. That's God's way of doing business. And that law is unbreakable. There will never be a crop failure in God's law of the harvest. Now I want to come today to verse number 8 and look at this. In the same context, God likens our giving to sowing and our receiving unto reaping. But now notice in verse number 8, the Bible said in the first part of verse number 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Let me just stop a moment and say, just about every time you hear the scripture read that I'm dealing with in Galatians 6, that is exactly what you expect to be preached on. The first half of verse number 8, and the man of God is going to preach on some character in the Bible who committed sin and then reaped what they sowed in that manner of sowing to the flesh. They sowed to the flesh, they reap corruption. And that principle is true. And it needs to be preached. It ought to be preached. It must be preached. But also, if you look at verse number 8, that's only half of the verse. There's another half of that verse. In fact, right in the middle of verse number 8, there's the word that I like to call the Holy Ghost conjunction. One of the most blessed words in the Bible is that word "but." You know what the word "but" means when you find it in the Word of God? It simply means there's another side to the story. That's not all there is to it. The story is not completed yet. So the Bible said in verse number 8, the first part, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." But wait a minute. That's not all there is to it. There's another side to the story. And it goes into that in the last part of it. The Bible said in the last part of it, "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So God gives us the choice. I could say several things here. First of all, our own life is the seed that God's given us to sow. And if we sow our life to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow our life to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But it not only deals with our life, ourselves, but it deals with our substance. If I take the money that God has blessed me with, and I use that money sowing to my flesh, then I will of the flesh reap corruption. But in the other hand, if I take that money and I put it in missions, I put it in the work of God, and I sow it to the Spirit, then what am I going to reap? The Bible said, "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, we know from the Word of God that you're not saved by your own sowing. That would make salvation by works. I'm saved because someone else sowed. And now somebody else can be saved by my sowing. What a wonderful privilege is mine that I can have in my soul the assurance that as I give to missions, somebody will be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And I have that wonderful privilege to be involved in the work of God. Not only just one time, but what I sow, I'm going to reap. And then I'm going to reap after I sow, more than I sow, and according to how much I sow. You see, in the work of God, if you notice in the church, those who gave the last time usually will have something to give the next time. Those who had nothing to give the last time have nothing this time. You see, when you sow nothing, you plant nothing, you have nothing. You sow what you've got, God gives you some more back, and then you can sow again to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. But hear me, friend, we have set before us in verse number 8 the alternative, the option. There are two soils that we can sow in. We can sow to the flesh, we can sow to the spirit. There are two substances that we'll reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I remember the time in my own life when God let me see the last half of this verse. And I said, to my shame and to the shame of many others, I've heard hundreds of messages preached on the first half of verse number 8, but I don't think I've ever heard a man of God read Galatians 6 and 8, chapter 6, verse 8, and preach a message from both sides of this verse of Scripture. But you know what the Bible is saying? It was a blessed day when I learned this. You don't have to sow to the flesh. You don't have to waste your life. You don't have to waste your substance and sow to the flesh only to reap corruption. You can take what God has blessed you with, both yourself, your life, and your substance. You can sow that, you can give that into the work of God, and God will multiply it and enable you to reap what you sowed. You can reap life everlasting. I look forward to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I know that's an unusual statement to be made, and there are areas of the judgment seat of Christ that I dread facing, but I look forward to seeing what God has done with the sowing that I've been able to do down through these years. My wife and I have been giving to Faith Promise Missions for going on 29 years. I'm anxious to see what God has done. I've invested 42 years of my life in the service of preaching the Word of God. I'm interested in seeing what God has done and will do with that. You see, giving is sowing, and then receiving is reaping. And dear friend, listen to me today. You do not have to waste your life sowing to the flesh, reaping corruption. You can sow to the Spirit, and then you can of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The choice is yours. Which will it be? Will I sow to my flesh and reap corruption? Or will I sow to my Spirit, or to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and reap life everlasting? I know what my choice is. I hope yours will be the same. I don't want to sow to my flesh and reap corruption. I want to sow to the Spirit of God, and then of the Spirit of God, reap life everlasting. But now notice in verse number 9, the Bible gives us this final admonition. He said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, or we shall reap, if we faint not. Now, why would he put that there? You see, you hardly ever tire or get weary of sowing to the flesh. But when you start sowing to the Spirit, you become weary if you're not careful. The devil fights you. You don't see the fruit immediately. You don't enjoy the blessings immediately. You don't reap the harvest immediately. And so, my friend, you can become weary in it. But God says to us again, that promise of God, God's unbreakable law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. And you reap according to how much you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us to get together by means of radio day after day and study from His eternal Word. I appreciate so much you being there and listening, and I'm grateful for the radio stations that carry the broadcast. Let me encourage you that you pray for the ministry. God would put His touch upon it and use it to His glory and His honor. And then also, I'd like to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And then be sure to join us each day, Monday through Friday, at this same time for another Harvest Time broadcast. God bless you, is my prayer.
I do not wait. grow.